ghostlight and Ash the Whispering Shade, Kaelvarn navigated the narrow, winding streets of Evria's Quarter, his eyes scanning the crowded marketplaces for any sign of the curators. He'd received a message requesting his presence at their headquarters, no specific reason given, but his specialty in subtle correction was always in demand. As he walked, Kael couldn't shake off the feeling that this visit would be different. The streets were alive with activity, hawkers calling out to potential customers, apprentices practicing their swordplay, and a group of women gathered around a street performer who juggled fire without once faltering. Amidst it all, Kael's focus remained singular. He spotted a figure waiting at the edge of the crowd, a hood up, face obscured, and quickened his pace. Upon entering the curator's chambers, Kael was greeted by Brother Marcellus, one of the few who knew him well enough to address him without formalities. "Kaelvarn, we've been expecting you." A young curator, barely out of her apprenticeship, led him deeper into the building to a room filled with soft candlelight and the scent of old parchment. An elderly curator sat behind a desk, papers scattered before them. "Thank you for coming, Kael," she said without looking up from her notes. "We have reason to believe one of our own has overstepped." A glance at the documents revealed the name, Melos Draw, an assassin who'd served the Black Rose Order with distinction. "She's been using Ashen Roads more than necessary, draining the balance in her favor." Kael listened intently as the curator detailed Melos Draw activities, infiltrating a minor noble's manor, gathering information on a rival house's internal dynamics, and leaving behind whispers of shadowy involvement, all to further the Order's goals. Yet the price of such actions, even when necessary, was not without consequence. He agreed to investigate, though not before extracting a promise from the curators that if he found Melos Draw methods justified her results, they would take steps to ease the strain on the balance. Kael left the headquarters with a weighty sense of responsibility and a reminder that even in the pursuit of righteousness, there existed no absolutes. Later that night, under the cover of darkness, Kael tracked Melos Draw to an abandoned windmill on the outskirts of town. The air inside reeked of char and something sweet, burnt offerings, perhaps. He approached with caution, hands at the small of his back, a faint hum of magic dancing across his fingers. As he entered the dimly lit space, Melos Draw emerged from the shadows, her face pale in the flickering candlelight. "Kaelvarn," she said calmly, "I knew you'd come." Their conversation was laced with tension, as much about the task at hand as the morality of their line of work. Melos Draw confessed to using Ashen Roads to mitigate risks and accelerate progress for the Order, an effort to expedite their agenda without drawing unnecessary attention. But each use left her drained, her connection to the balance fraying like a snapped thread. Kael listened intently, weighing every word as much as he weighed the morality of his own work. In the silence that followed, he reached out with a hesitant hand and took hold of Melos Draw's wrist, not to apprehend or correct, but to understand. In this moment, the line between loyalty and consequence blurred. He sensed her desperation, her fear of being left behind as the balance shifted. "There are other ways," Kael said softly. "Subtler paths to achieve what you seek." As they spoke, a faint glow began to emanate from Melos Draw's hand, a residue of magic left over from her excess use of Ashen Roads. It seeped into Kael's skin like frost, weighing him down with the accumulated fatigue of years. With an air of resolve he didn't quite feel, Kael guided Melos Draw toward a new path, one that respected the balance without sacrificing everything for expediency. The promise was made, to find an alternative way forward, to temper their ambitions with caution, and to honor the true cost of their craft, no matter how unglamorous it might be. As they left the windmill behind, into the cold morning air, Kael's hand still wrapped around Melos Draw's wrist, he knew that this was a test. Not just of loyalty or right and wrong, but of what it truly meant to serve in the shadows, where the line between justice and mercy often blurred beyond recognition. This would be remembered as one of those moments when balance was sought over righteousness, when actions were measured by their consequences rather than intentions alone. In that quiet resolution, Kale found a small measure of redemption for his own role in the Black Rose Order, though he knew it wouldn't ease the weight of his duty or the strain on his own connection to the Ashen Roads. The streets of Evereus Quarter were quiet, save for the occasional hooting of an owl or the soft clinking of a street vendor's wares. Kale guided Melostra through the winding alleys, their footsteps echoing off the buildings as they made their way back to his lodgings. She didn't resist his grip on her wrist, and he sensed a quiet acceptance in her. For the first time, he saw the weight of her actions bearing down on her like an unyielding mountain. "Melostra," Kale said softly, "we need to talk about this with the curators." He couldn't let her continue on her own, using Ashen Roads at such a cost to herself. She nodded, but her expression remained guarded, her eyes squinting against the faint light of dawn breaking over the rooftops. As they walked, Kale noticed her hand tremble beneath his grip. He loosened his hold slightly, and she didn't protest, her fingers interlocking with his once more. It was a gesture of trust, perhaps more a gesture of resignation, as if she'd accepted that Kale's words were the only option left to her. They walked in silence for a while longer, their footsteps weaving together like a Morse code in the early morning stillness. They arrived at Kale's small lodgings on the outskirts of the quarter, a modest but well-kept abode above his family's modest bakery. Inside, he lit a fire and set to work brewing tea from dried leaves he'd acquired during his last mission. Melostra settled onto a stool near the window, her eyes drifting toward the sky as if searching for something. "You know what's at stake," she said finally, breaking the silence that had grown between them. "The curators are aware," Kale replied, handing her a steaming cup of tea. He watched as she took it with both hands, cradling it in her palms like a small flame. The delicate movement seemed to reveal something about her, a glimmer of vulnerability long hidden beneath layers of training and duty. In that moment, Kale realized he'd been too slow to understand the full extent of Melostra's desperation. "What are we going to do?" she asked, her voice barely above a whisper now, as if afraid to shatter the quiet morning peace they'd forged together. As he watched her, Kale's thoughts drifted to his own struggles with balance and the cost of their craft. He recalled the curator's words, "Even in the pursuit of righteousness, there exist no absolutes." The statement echoed within him like a whispered warning. How many times had he walked this fine line? And what of Melostra, who'd carried her burden for so long without seeking respite or recognition? He poured himself a cup from the steaming pot and sat beside her on the stool, his thigh touching hers in a gesture that was almost instinctual now. The warmth of the fire danced across their legs, creating a sense of intimacy within the confines of the small room. Melostra lifted her eyes to his, and for an instant he saw the weight of her years, the lines around her eyes, the creases on her brow, all testaments to her unyielding dedication. "What I mean is," Kale began slowly, "we have to report this to the curators. We need their guidance on how to proceed." Melostra's gaze dropped back to her tea, her fingers tightening around the cup as if it were a lifeline. Kale sensed his words might be too late, that she'd already crossed some threshold in her mind. He recalled the faint hum of magic he'd sensed earlier and wondered how much strain she could bear before it became unbearable. In the silence that followed, Melostra's thoughts seemed to spin through various scenarios, her face tense with each consideration. Kale reached out, placing a gentle hand on her shoulder, his touch light but reassuring. "We'll find a way," he said softly. "Together." His words hung in the air like the scent of tea wafting from their cups, a faint reminder of the fragile truce they'd forged. A sudden clinking sound came from outside. Someone had entered the bakery below. Kale's head jerked toward the noise, his gut instinctively tightening. He stood, hand on the small of his back, where he kept his dagger in its worn leather sheath. The knock at the door was repeated, more insistent this time, and Melostra set her cup down, a flicker of unease dancing across her face. "Who could that be?" Kale muttered, moving toward the stairs with a quiet deliberation. Kale descended the creaky stairs, his hand on the hilt of his dagger as he peered into the dim morning light spilling from the bakery below. The knock came again, this time louder and more insistent. "What do you want?" he called out, trying to keep his tone neutral. A figure emerged from the shadows outside, a hood cast over their head to protect against the mist that clung to the cobblestones like a damp shroud. Kale's eyes narrowed as he took in the stranger's features, a young woman with an angular face and sunken cheeks, her eyes sunken from lack of sleep. "Please," she said, her voice laced with a mixture of desperation and urgency, "I need to speak with Melos Draw." Kale raised an eyebrow, intrigued by the request. He'd not seen this woman before, but there was something in her manner that suggested she wasn't some idle curiosity seeker or gossip monger. He opened the door wider, allowing her to enter, and nodded toward the stairs leading up to his lodgings. "Wait here a moment," he said, disappearing back up the stairs. Melos Draw Cup still sat on the stool where she'd left it, her gaze fixed on the flames dancing in the hearth. Kale cleared his throat, breaking the silence, and nodded toward the newcomer. "Who is this?" Melos Draw asked, her voice detached as she set aside her tea. "This one says she needs to speak with you," Kale replied, his eyes never leaving the woman's face. She'd shed her hood now, revealing a mop of untidy hair tied back in a practical knot, and a smudge on her cheekbone that spoke of exhaustion. "Her name is Lyra," she said, her voice dripping with an accent from the eastern parts of the realm. Melos Draw rose from the stool, her movements economical as she made her way toward Lyra, who regarded her with a look of quiet intensity. "What brings you here?" Melos Draw asked, her tone measured and detached, though Kale detected a hint of wariness beneath. Lyra hesitated, glancing around the small room before focusing on Melos Draw once more. "Words gotten out," she said finally, her voice barely above a whisper, "about your activities. People are talking. Some folks think you're courting disaster." Lyra's words dripped with an air of trepidation, her eyes darting between Kale and Melos Draw as if gauging their reactions. "They're saying you've been using Ashen Roads to do unsanctioned work," Lyra continued, her voice growing more urgent. Melos Draw's expression remained impassive, but Kale detected a flicker of tension in her shoulders. "I don't know what that means," Melos Draw said, her tone measured, though a hint of wariness crept into her voice. Lyra took a step forward, her hands clasped together in front of her as if begging for understanding. "It means they're saying you're breaking the rules, that you're using your abilities to help those who shouldn't be helped," she replied, her words spilling out like a confession. Kale watched as Melos Draw gaze narrowed, her jaw set in a way that told him she was carefully considering Lyra's statement. "Who's saying these things?" he asked, his voice even but laced with a hint of warning. Lyra glanced around the room once more before focusing on Kale, her eyes darkening as if sharing a secret. "The curators," she said quietly. The word hung in the air like a challenge, and Melos Draw's expression turned guarded once more. She took a step back, her hand absently smoothing the folds of her cloak as if seeking comfort in familiar routines. Kale felt his gut twist with unease. He'd been expecting something, anything but this. "How did you hear?" he asked Lyra, his voice tight with tension. Lyra's gaze drifted to the flames dancing in the hearth, her eyes reflecting a moment of hesitation before she spoke. "I have sources," she said finally, her tone cryptic but laced with a quiet conviction. "Sources who have told me you're not as careful as you think you are." Melos Draw's eyes locked onto Lyra, her expression unreadable as she weighed the young woman's words. Kale felt a shiver run down his spine as he sensed the weight of Melos Draw's gaze, the way it seemed to pierce through the air like an unseen blade. "You're not just some messenger," he said, his tone firm but cautious. "You're here to tell us something specific." Lyra's eyes darted between Kale and Melos Draw once more before she spoke. "I'm here to warn you," she said finally, her voice low and even. "The curators will send someone soon, someone to investigate the claims. You have to be careful." Kale's grip on his dagger tightened as he scanned their small lodgings, searching for any sign of a potential threat. But Lyra's gaze was fixed intently on Melos Draw, her words spilling out in a hushed urgency. "You're not just courting disaster, you're walking blind into it. You don't know what the curators will do when they find out." Melos Draw face seemed chiseled from stone as she regarded Lyra, her expression guarded but attentive. Kale sensed a thread of unease in her voice when she spoke. "And who are these sources you claim to have?" he asked, his eyes narrowing slightly. Lyra hesitated again, her eyes drifting toward the hearth before focusing on Melos Draw once more. "People from the higher circles," she said finally, her words laced with a quiet conviction. "Those who have seen things they shouldn't be privy to." The shadows in the room seemed to grow longer as Lyra's gaze locked onto Melos Draw, and for an instant, Kale felt a shiver run down his spine. The fire crackled softly in the hearth, casting flickering shadows across the walls. Melos Draw's expression remained unreadable, but her eyes narrowed ever so slightly, as if sizing up Lyra like an opponent in a dark alleyway. "What do they know?" she asked finally, her voice detached but laced with a thread of curiosity. Lyra's lips compressed into a thin line before she spoke. "They know what you're doing," she said, her words dripping with an air of conviction. "The whispers of Ashen Roads are spreading fast. People are talking about your work, the ones you help, and the ones you don't." Her eyes flickered toward Kale before returning to Melos Draw, as if pleading for understanding. The flames in the hearth danced higher, casting eerie shadows on the walls as Melos Draw's gaze held Lyra's with an unyielding intensity. "Go on," she said, her voice a low, measured tone that brooked no argument. Lyra swallowed hard, her Adam's apple bobbing up and down, before continuing in a rush. "They know about the one you refused to help. The child in Alderaan. People are talking, Melos Draw, and they're not just whispers. They're accusations. Some say you're playing both sides, using your power for personal gain." Kale shifted forward, his eyes locked onto Lyra's, but she didn't flinch. Melos Draw's face remained a mask of composure, her expression unreadable. "Who told you this?" he asked, his voice even but firm. Lyra's gaze darted between them before focusing on Melos Draw once more. "My sources," she repeated. "Those who have seen the inner workings of the Curator's Council. They know about your accommodations with certain parties. The way you're using Ashen Roads to further your own agenda." The air in the room seemed to thicken, heavy with unspoken accusations and unresolved tension. Melos Draw's eyes narrowed ever so slightly, as if she was weighing Lyra's words against her own conscience. "What do they know about my accommodations?" she asked finally, her voice measured but laced with a hint of defensiveness. Lyra's lips compressed into a thin line before speaking in a hushed tone. "They know you're working with someone from the Guild of the Red Hand," she said, her words dripping with an air of warning. "Someone who's not above using your talents for their own gain." Melos Draw's gaze didn't waver, but Kale sensed a flicker of surprise in her expression, like a spark caught between two dry leaves. He'd expected anger or defensiveness, but instead she seemed intrigued. "Go on," she said again, her voice measured but her eyes never leaving Lyra's face. Lyra's words tumbled out in a rush, as if she feared being interrupted. "The Red Hand has ties to the higher echelons of power. They're not just a thieves' guild, Melos Draw. They have fingers in every pie, and they won't hesitate to crush anyone who gets in their way." She paused, her chest heaving slightly as if the words had cost her breath. Melos Draw's expression remained calm, but Kale detected a subtle tension in her shoulders, like a bowstring drawn taut. "What makes you think I'm involved with them?" she asked, her voice deceptively light. Lyra's eyes darted toward Kale before returning to Melos Draw's face. "Because your name keeps surfacing in their discussions," she said quietly. Kale shifted forward, his hand resting on the hilt of his dagger as he watched Lyra with growing unease. What was she hiding? And what did she know about Melastra's involvement with the Red Hand? The room seemed to darken slightly, as if the shadows themselves were growing heavier, more oppressive. The fire in the hearth spat and crackled, casting eerie shadows on the walls as Melastra's eyes locked onto Lyra's. For an instant, Kale thought he saw a glimmer of something like anger or even fear, but it was quickly extinguished by her characteristic calm. "I see," she said finally, her voice measured but laced with a thread of curiosity. Lyra took a step back, her eyes darting toward the door as if seeking escape from the tension building in the room. "You have to be careful, Melastra. The curators won't hesitate to strike down anyone who gets in their way. And the Red Hand, they are not above taking what's theirs." Her voice trailed off, and for a moment, there was only the soft crackling of the fire. Kale's grip on his dagger tightened as he studied Melastra's face, searching for any sign of emotion. But her expression remained impassive, like a mask carved from stone. "I appreciate your concern," she said finally, her voice detached but laced with a hint of mockery. "But I think you're overestimating the curator's reach."